Hi, you're listening to Truth News Radio Australia on the 20th of February 2013. It's great to be with you today, broadcasting from Sydney, Australia. And today we are going to be having a bit of a laid-back show. We're going to be having a bit of a yarn tonight, going through some stories that are making the headlines here in Australia, talking to my studio guest, Damon Crowe, about everything that's going on around the planet. And we want to look at some very particular subjects tonight that are of great interest to people who may be faced with parking fines or speeding fines or any unpleasant infringement notices, because there's been some interesting developments in regard to the challenging of our unconstitutional laws in Australia. And some groups have got together to help people to basically challenge the framework by which speeding fines and other types of fines are issued in a very legally sound manner. And it's something that I find quite interesting, and really, it really galls me the way in which there have just been law after law, statute after statute passed over the years, over the decades, without any oversight, without any consent on the part of the people of this country. And it's getting more and more ridiculous. And in fact, the powers that are used to investigate, and I do have a phone call coming in, I'm going to have to just pause because I think it could be a contributor to the show. And we do indeed have on the line Crispy T, a.k.a. Chris Tolland, a radio personality from Radio Skid Row and a good friend of mine. Crispy T, welcome back to Truth News Radio. It's been a while since we've had you on.
Yes, indeed. How's it going, Herod? And how's it going there? Who else am I speaking with?
Well, indeed, we have also in the studio tonight Damon Crowe, another great friend and contributor to Truth News Radio. Damon, welcome. Are you there, sir?
Yeah, I'm alive and here.
It's great to have you both aboard. And look, guys, tonight there's a few stories that I wanted to basically run through, but after that we're going to get into some of these questions about the legality and constitutionality. Boy, that's enough to make you feel like you're drunk to say that. Constitutionality of fines and speeding fines and how you might avoid paying them, because they certainly are rather pesky, aren't they? Have you had many unfortunate infringement notices, Crispy?
Yeah, I've got quite a few. I've actually off my license at the moment, which is a bit of a bummer. I'm on by public transport because I went through too many morning time speed traps where I've gone like 65 in a 60 zone at 8 o'clock in the morning, or 2 minutes past 8 o'clock when there's no one around. But
my goodness.
I know it's actually 40, 45 in a 40 zone. This feels like you're crawling. And so I did that a few times, and also speeding on the highway. And there's cameras,
goodness,
you know, there's no injured party. There's no plaintiff or a complainant. But yeah, that's it.
Well, that's incredible. Are you saying you received infringements for doing 45 in a 40 zone?
Yeah.
Gee, that's really they're tightening up, aren't they? Because, you know, normally, actually, I got one recently. I don't drive that much, but as soon as I started driving recently, I got one almost straight away. I got one for doing 95 in an 80 zone, but 45 in a 40 zone, boy, I mean, 40 is really slow, isn't it?
And you know, it's crawling. It's hard to actually stay at 40 when there's no one around, and you see people on their bicycles, like those guys wearing their Lycra zipping past you.
Yeah. and I think you might have something in common with Damon Crowe. Damon, what's your current status?
I cyclically lose my license. I'd say sort of 3 years or so, and sort of comes around. It's like the solar cycle, except instead of every 11 years, I do mine sort of every 3 years or so. I don't even bother looking at the thing. I just get told in the household that I've lost my license again, and And I never bother even working out why. I just realise I'm not very good at following all these laws that they seem to logarithmically create every year. And, I cyclically lose my licence, and that's just how it is.
But look, the point is, I mean, we can laugh about it, but the point is it's totally outrageous. It's tyrannical. It's unacceptable.
I haven't been in a car accident since I was 19, I must say.
You're both very reasonable people. You're not criminal types. You're not bad people. You don't deserve to have your licence taken away.
Yes, we do.
The people who are doing this, I want to wring them by the throat right as we speak. It just makes me so incredibly angry.
It boils down to fucking... Oh, you go ahead, Rat Demon. You go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying that to get by, you really have to be one of these law-abiding people. I don't know what you're like in high school, but I don't like following laws very, well. I just like living life by my set of laws, which I think is the actual correct way that we should be living. I think you'll find that this whole fictitious legal system, and the government doesn't even have the right to be creating all these ridiculous rules, and it's impossible to live by them unless you're a subservient, soft, piece of jelly, which you see. I see most of the people who are abiding by all these rules, and I just don't want to end up like anything like them. They're just morbid, soft, metrosexual, law-abiding, non-human entities, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm just going to stay true to myself. And if that means I lose my license every 3 years, then stiff.
Well, indeed. But I mean, look, even the nice, good-natured people, as you say, the metrosexuals, whatever, anyone is having this done to them. I mean, the tyranny affects everyone. You can't be law-abiding.
Well, you can't hide from it. Yeah, look, I don't mean to be talking down upon anybody that has got 12 points on their license and is doing a very, very good job. That's just not me.
I mean, they're lucky, that's all. I mean, these 40 zones, I mean, they're all over the place. I'm living up in the Blue Mountains at the moment, and they're constantly popping up, these 40 zones, but it's only like for certain hours during the day. So you've got to quickly look at your watch. You've got to look how fast you're going and say, oh, gee, it's between 2 and 4. I better slow down by 20 kilometres an hour, which is a huge difference. And, boy, if you how are you going to do it? You can't. I mean, it is set up so you will break the law.
Now, that's it.
Yeah, it is.
Bingo.
Yeah, and of course, there's a lot of revenue coming in for that, but it's more than just the revenue. It's the power trip as well. And there was a story in the paper, and I'll bring this up in a minute, but the councils are now spying on people using mobile phone records, and they're using all kinds of powers that were granted to them under recent changes with the laws after terrorism and national security acts. The councils are now getting access to your phone records to pursue infringement notices. This was in the papers in the past few days. It's a complete abuse of the system, but no one can stop it. No one can stop it.
How can they find – what do they use the effects? Like they say if you're speeding, they can say you're at this place at this time and that place at another time. That means you're sped or what? What do you mean?
Yes, indeed. Okay, I've got the article up here. Local councils are snooping on phone use, and just waiting for that to load. It's actually from The Australian, and unfortunately, because The Australian now enforces a paywall, I can't read the whole article to you. Local councils are snooping on phone use. They are seizing data from residents' mobile phones without warrants to chase unregistered pets, illegal rubbish dumping, and unauthorized advertising, whatever the heck that is. Federal surveillance laws enable enforcement agencies such as police, corruption watchdogs, and the Australian Taxation Office to seize telecommunications data to conduct criminal investigations, enforce fines, or protect public revenue. But the laws are increasingly being used by other public bodies such as local governments and Australia Post, which have collectively made more than 800 self-authorizations for personal data in the past three financial years. There we go. That's just another little chip in the old block, another nail in the coffin of freedom.
It's a tough one. I don't agree with it. I think that that's wrong. They shouldn't be doing it. And it's whatever happened to freedom? What happened to personal responsibility? And we can drive if we're being sensible and we're not endangering lives, and if we're, you know, properly managing ourselves, it's just, it's a nanny state, you know, you have to do this, do as we say, and pay the fines. And it's just, they're squeezing us. I think it is really about squeezing and authority, putting their authority over us. It's upsetting to me that that's what I think it is.
Absolutely. And look, before we get further down that track and get into some of the more detailed investigations that Damon's done, I actually just want to get through a bit of news, which is a little bit more on the bright side, although I don't know if there might be a dark lining behind this bright cloud. But it turns out that the New South Wales government has banned coal seam gas in the whole state of New South Wales. Now, I've done a number of shows on this, and we've had some really passionate activists on here. And the last show I did, just a few weeks ago, we were just wringing our hands, and my guest Wanda was saying, you know, we're going to have to get out there and just, you know, it's war, basically. I mean, they're at war with us. The number of issues with this coal seam gas drilling, where people live, like near homes, near people's houses, the problems with it are myriad. Like there is a land subsidence that can occur. Like when you suck a whole lot of gas out of the ground and someone's house is above that, guess what? The ground can collapse. That's one thing, right? But of course, all the gas comes up and you smell it, you breathe it, it's toxic, it'll hurt you, you'll get sick, right? It'll go into your water table, it'll go into your drinking water, and it'll come out your taps. You light a match, and there'll be like, you know, a fire coming out of your tap. All this really happens, and yet, despite that, the gas companies, the drilling companies, the mining companies behind it, and the governments have been on a converging course of saying this is what's coming. It's already happening in Queensland. It's already happening in other states. But there's now a moratorium in New South Wales. Isn't that incredible?
Fantastic.
I'll just read the article quickly here. The New South Wales government has caved in to community and political pressure over coal seam gas, announcing a ban on all activity within 2 kilometres of residential areas and industry clusters, such as horse breeders and wine producers across the state. It has also announced that the chief scientist and engineer, Mary O'Kane, will review all coal seam gas activity in New South Wales, including the effect on water catchments, and report on any risks by July.
Mm. What's her name again?
Mary O'Kane. And
decent.
Well, indeed. There was a follow-up on that story today. And this is actually really stirring things up, because I can tell you the powers that be are not happy about this, and they're going to – there's going to be some kind of backlash, right? I mean, basically, the people occasionally can hold sway. The people can, if they all get together and use their collective force, they can change things, and they have in this case. But there's another story out today. Coal seam gas buffers alarm the miners, and by that we mean mining companies, not – the miners with the hats on. They're going to resist this at all costs. We're going to break you with Truth News Radio. We'll be right back after these short messages. Please stay with us. Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free.
Seems to me like they want us to be afraid, man. Maybe we just like being afraid. Maybe we just so used to it at this point that it's just a part of us. Part of our culture. Security alert on orange. It's been on orange since 01, G. I mean, what's up, man? Can a brother get yellow, man? Just for like 2 months or something? Goddamn. Sick of that. Mic check. The groove is thick, so I'ma rhyme like a lunatic. I do this shit with an unassuming wit.
corporation conjured up the bass and the tempo. My name is Liv, that's the intro, now let's go. The flow of life, throwing strife into the mix. To the
pain. Welcome back, you're with Truth News Radio Australia. I'm with my guests tonight, Crispy T and Damon Crow, as we plough through some of the stories that are troubling and, fixating humanity, but which are often completely neglected and ignored and are treated as almost non-existent by the mainstream media and the government. Now, I want to get back to the whole issue of the tyranny of fines and infringement notices shortly, but let's just continue with this theme of coal seam gas. Now, as I mentioned there before the break, there has been a moratorium on new exploration in the state of New South Wales near human habitations. Anything within 2 kilometres is now prohibited. But
that's
I suspect
close, but not, it needs to be even further than that, like I think. Water tables.
Well,
and things.
Yeah, 2 kilometres is still pretty close, indeed. But look, I don't think that the big companies are even going to put up with that for very long. I think this will be overturned. I mean, I hate being so you know despondently cynical, but let's just read this story today, which was published in the Sydney Morning Herald. Coal seam gas buffer zones alarm the miners. The state government's new coal seam gas restrictions have hit projects valued in the billions of dollars, leaving gas industry workers and landholders poring over maps to work out which gas fields are off limits. Now, that's a weird sort of introductory paragraph, isn't it? Gas industry workers and landholders? Oh, gee. We're so sorry for you, you know? It's like, okay, there's something funny going on here. There's a reframing of this debate going on now. So let's just continue with the story. The massive Western Sydney gas expansion has been scuppered, and about a quarter of the Hunter Valley is now excluded. Oh, from drilling. Oh, the Hunter Valley. Come on. It's just like white vineyards and shit there. I mean, come on. It's just like hundreds of thousands of people live there and it's one of the most beautiful parts of Australia. What do you mean, excluded? Oh, that's just not fair. From drilling. By the new rule preventing coal seam gas activity within 2 kilometres of homes. But a major gas field where AGL plans at least 110 wells near Gloucester, northwest of Newcastle, will be allowed to proceed because a conditional approval had already been granted. And this is an interesting little, already a little way out. It says here, and this is a quote, I think, from the Premier Barry O'Farrell. If you have a petroleum exploration license approved now, there is nothing we can do about it, the Premier Barry O'Farrell said. But if you have an exploration license and it is not approved, it stops today. He rejected suggestions that the announcement was driven by political concerns, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, this is quite a long article. The general tone of this article seems to me is that we're going to get a huge backlash from the industry. AGL says the situation for the industry is disastrous. Disastrous, that's the word they're using. Now, what do they mean by that? Well, of course, coal seam gas mining is disastrous for human habitation, for human life, for people, right? But unfortunately, these new laws are disastrous for the profits of some companies. Anyway, what's your take on that, guys?
Well, I think it's a beautiful place up in the Hunter, and I also feel that they're starting to get into Gloucester as well. And I just think this thing is playing around with absolute fire. And
yeah,
this is our sovereign country, and the idea that they can bypass our ability to on a referendum to vote whether they can or cannot penetrate the earth of Australia and pump toxic chemicals at high pressure without they can do this without even involving us, and in fact go onto our own land and bypass our ability to own the land, as you like, or control the land, yeah. and potentially jeopardize the salinity of the soil as well as the toxicity of the water table is outrageous, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's of course, you know, there has been a very successful, in some respects, a successful movement against it. It has reached the attention of the powers that be. And, of course, the Greens have been a big part of this. This is actually one of the things that the Greens are strongly supporting. And, to that extent, I'm on side with them on this. But the fact that it was allowed to get this far and that it has already, in Queensland, gone way beyond where it is now in New South Wales, the fact that it is already a fait accompli in most parts of the United States, and the fact that coal seam gas is tied to this ridiculous low carbon footprint dogma, obsession, meme, means that it will continue to keep coming back until the roots of it are taken out. The roots of it being the false alarm over climate change and the belief that coal, because of its carbon footprint, must be replaced with other forms of renewable energy or other forms of energy, even natural gas. The basic deception is still in place, and I think it will just keep coming back. I mean, have you noticed how the coal seam gas industry has ridden on the back of the climate change bandwagon?
Yeah, I think it goes hand in hand. It's a two-pronged strategy. So you've got the Greens against you on this whole, you know, fictitious carbon tax, but then you've got the Greens with you and supporting you.
Yeah.
When you're talking about vandalism to the actual country. And I think even if now, if we can stop future exploration, you know, or rights to start tracking around the country, it's too late. You're talking about thousands of rights have already been issued, just willy-nilly. And it yeah. just shows you how we have the government and these large corporate organisations basically do whatever they want, whenever they want. And it's only till later, when we start kicking up a fuss, that they give us some sort of token gesture that we've got some sort of control. And, oh, look, sorry about that. We didn't mean to offend you guys. Oh, yes, we'll ask for, you know, more stringent guidelines going forward. And they,
yeah.
and they play this little game with us. But the real reality is we have no control over these idiots that are in government. They do what they want, when they want, how they want, in collaboration with large corporate organisations using a legal jurisdiction which is completely unlawful, which is one of the topics that's just starting to rise now, is the legality of the governments themselves and their ability to do this. Is it appears as though it's completely unlawful, but we've just never really understood the law or our rights, and as a result we've just allowed them to assume control and do whatever they want to do.
Yeah, and it's just sort of it's kind of growing like a cancer almost, isn't it? The rampant spread of unconstitutional, anti-democratic, unpopular mandates that are basically just driven by very powerful organizations, very empowered governments, and large international forces. And all we do, it seems like, we hear about things that decisions have already been made. I mean, by the time I'd heard about coal seam gas the first time, it was already far advanced in this country before I'd even heard of it.
Thousands of licenses have already been issued. It's already been done.
Yeah, and you know, what I suspect is that with all these protests and everything, yeah, they're going to slow down. They're going to slow down a little, regroup, and then as they do, what we've seen before is this globalist tendency is then they just keep marching on, just like it's like the zombie army doesn't give up. You're with Truth News Radio. We're just going to break, and we'll be right back with some more incisive analysis very soon. Stay with us.
the man is so unjust. Children, yeah, don't know who to trust. Your worst enemy could be your best friend, and your best friend your worst enemy. Some will eat and drink.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. My name's Herewood Fenton. It's a pleasure to be talking to you today. And I'm in the studio with my guests, Crispy T and Damon Crowe. And indeed, as Bob Marley said, your best friend could be your worst enemy, and your worst enemy could be your best friend. And I tell you what, if you think the government is your best friend, wow. I think a lot of people still think that. You know, they think the government actually is what it purports to be, is kind of your friend. I mean, what's your feeling about that, Damon? Do you think we're actually, like a lot of people are actually living in a state of complete delusion about what the government really is?
Oh, yeah. And in fact, there's quite a new, there's some recent revelations and an old subject that's been continued, which is people exploring the legality of these governments. I mean, there's some really interesting stuff that, you know, on this whole Freeman principle, this investigation of this kind of continuation of, you know, Roman maritime law that's continued on for 2,000 years. And, you know, I don't remember signing up to any of these laws. I don't remember them signing up to that they've got control over me and I have to abide by laws. I never remember signing up to anything, but apparently we've all bought into it. And it appears as though, get this, there's a YouTube called What the FUQ, Frequency Unanswered Questions of the Australian Government.
Yeah.
And there is a version of the Australian Government lodged in Washington, D.C., right? It has a stock number associated to it and all this sort of rubbish, right? And it basically indicates that the Australian Government is a corporation and it changed names. And it's just a strange anomaly that just doesn't seem. We're actually listed on the Security Commission in Washington, D.C. We've got a code against our name, and the coat of arms has changed. And anyway, in this Frequency Asked Questions, it's a story about a guy trying to bring in a car from America. And the government body gets involved.
Yeah.
And
I think I've seen this one. Yeah, really interesting.
Yeah, anyway, he says, well, can you please identify yourselves and tell me who you guys are? And are you really under the seal of the constitutional government of Australia? And they just dropped the whole case. It's bloody, it's very weird. And anyway, if you go into like the another website, I should say, called optin.com, which is OPPT-in.com, they've got these courtesy letters and guidelines. They've actually lodged a UCC filing in Washington that basically, request these people to identify themselves and what legal jurisdiction they have over the people. And they ask some very, very interesting questions, which don't seem to be being answered. Now, I'm no legal guru, so I'm probably not doing this much justice, but there's a good interview with Max Egan a few days ago, and you can Google a couple of interviews he's done in the last week. And fascinating. Santos Panarchi's done some good stuff here, and then I think there's another guy called Daniel Collins, if I'm not mistaken, in Sydney. He's very, very good on this sort of stuff. Okay. And they really have a look at it. And basically, the legal system is just as illusionary as the financial system. In fact, the financial system and the legal system go hand in hand, and both are under close scrutiny, basically vaporized right in front of you. They appear to have no jurisdiction whatsoever. It's just prior precedence and the assumption that they have that give them sway, but there really isn't any jurisdiction at all. They have no legal precedent, because neither you or I or any of us have ever signed up to any of this stuff, ever.
Yeah, it's like there's a sleight of hand going on with the laws. In the same way there's a sleight of hand with the issuing of currency, that is completely deceptive. We never authorized the processes by which these laws have been issued. Now, there's a site that I've looked at quite often called AussieSpeedingFines.com,
yeah,
which has a lot of information about this, and they actually have a book, although they're charging now for the book, and I'm not in favor of paying for this type of information because I think it actually makes me a little bit suspicious when you have to pay to download information that's actually of extreme importance for our collective freedom. But there may be some very good reasons why they've put this payment gateway on here now.
This is going even further. That was kind of looking at things like the burden of proof is on the government to prove that, you know, their instruments are calibrated and all this sort of stuff. And unless you can absolutely quantifiably prove that I was actually doing that actually speed limit and you've got verification that speed camera is actually accurate and blah, 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 then you can't charge me. And so that's kind of a loophole. This is actually looking at universal corporate code, UCC, okay, which is apparently the whole thing's based on corporate law.
Yep.
And the funny thing is if you go to another part of that, which is this sort of opt-in group, and it has a look at all these organizations and countries that are classified under this this legislation. It's most countries on the planet, and it's I've got to say it's very, very interesting. There's a panel that sit around and talk about this. A couple of Australians, an international lawyer, and they've actually lodged this UCC filing. A number of these, there's like a dozen different filings that they've lodged, and we're all caught up in it. The people of the planet are basically all caught up on it.
Sure.
And they basically challenge them to identify their legal jurisdiction over us. And they use their own legalese speak against them. So it's not you know, this sort of sovereign, you know, free man type argument, which is a logical one. This is actually using their own legalese speak back to them, asking them to identify themselves. And it appears to be very, very successful. They give, like, you know, quite a number of case studies. And the people that they've challenged have gone unbelievably quiet very, very quickly. So they find people and push and shove, and they have this kind of position of bully boy. But if you actually go back to them with this kind of courtesy letter, which you should go and read, it's kind of interesting.
Sure.
They say that they'll charge you at a minimum of like $2,000 if you're in breach of this this letter. So in other words, if you're fraudulently masquerading yourself as the government, which it appears as though they could be, then the minimum the fine under their terms and conditions is like $2,000 as an individual. It's very interesting, and they're also pushing the councils, the local councils in Australia, to be individual organisations under the control of the United Nations, and they're after a referendum for them to bypass the Constitution and be able to issue laws as an organisation, an entity that's outside our normal legal jurisdiction.
Wow.
It's really bizarre. And the councils will be implementing this Agenda 21.
Well, that is Agenda 21 indeed. Mm. Yeah, that is the bringing the environmental and sustainability provisions into a local level from a global direction. It's quite subversive, actually. It's actually undermining the methods of governance that we have to bring things right down to that local level, but then to make them laws. It's incredible, and they've done so much. They've done so much on that already. Have you got any links to what you're saying, just for our listeners, Damon, that we could quickly get up on the screen?
One of the locations that has all the documents is a website called Opt In, but it's OPPT hyphen IN .com. And that has a copy of the courtesy letter and all the overview of how it's all kind of structured out. But there's a few other sites as well. There's another site called wakeup-world.com, which has you know, links and shows. It actually shows all this corporate the corporate seal of our constitution and how there seem to be two Australian Commonwealth governments. one that seemed to be under the Constitution and one that seemed to be operating unlawfully as an organization that's registered in Washington, D.C., along with, you know, basically most other countries around the world. And it seems as though they work underneath this organization corporate code. That's basically how they work. It's very interesting.
Yeah, look, it's something that needs to be explored. What I do know is that we have to not succumb to the feeling that this is all inevitable. That's the worst thing that you can do. We're with Truth News Radio Australia tonight. Welcome, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. Welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. It's great to have your company today. And do please check us out at truthnews.com.au. Done a lot of interesting interviews over the past few weeks. Last week, I did a fantastic interview with Malcolm Roberts, Galileo Movement, climate skeptic, and really passionate, just advocate for justice and truth and sense and rationality. There's a lot of great people out there. A lot of people sticking their neck out, taking risks, being the change that they want to see in the world. I'm really inspired every time a new person appears on the scene. Unfortunately, you know, the conditions that we're living under are pretty hard. It's tough. And we're all pretty isolated. And it's really unfortunate, I think, that we don't come together more. I mean, what do you think about that, Crispy? I mean, you know, we're... I mean, I haven't really had a chance to catch up with you and all the other great sort of truth community and libertarian people in Sydney in a long time. We're all just kind of being ground down, aren't we?
But by just the fees and the penalties and the sort of oppression of, like, denying the right to travel, that sort of thing.
Well, and the economic forces that sort of keep us locked into very tight schedules and really don't have a lot of flexibility, and we don't really have our ability to reach out and network with each other is very constrained. And I think it's constrained by our own, you know, sense that, well, we've got a every minute of the day is kind of focused on survival.
That's it. I think it's the system's got us by the nuts, or it's got us, you know, it's a hard one. Because, like, I'm sort of dealing with the issues of getting in further involved into the system, buying into the system with possibly a mortgage. I know people, that's the way the world is, you know. You've got to sign on and you've got to accept it. But I don't know how it's going to be, because I see the way the world's going. It's being engineered to the brink, and it's being pushed. The system that owns the banks is tightening the screws and putting the pressure down a little bit, and deliberately making things more difficult for people. And lawful rebellion, Damon was talking about it before, and all the various sort of truth-seeking groups that are involved with finding the nitty-gritty of the law and what's really going on with the law. Lawful rebellion is where it's at, and lawful non-compliance. So not legal. There's a difference between lawful and legal. Legal is the paper, the printed game that the magic of the words that they play with us, but lawful is goes back down to the common law, the universal laws that exist. So it's not red ink, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I tend to think we should be in a state of active non-compliance. We should be in a state of rebellion. We really should be looking at refusing to pay taxes. We should be looking at refusing to pay these outrageous penalties that have no connection to logic, reason, or fairness.
But of course, as well. But I can't say that I'm acting in that way, because, you know, I'm a chicken and not driving because they've taken my license, and it's a hard one. You know, you have to pick your battles. But I think it's coming to a point where, and there are various websites, it's how to get out of paying, how to avoid paying penalties. And on Facebook, it's avoid, I forget what it is exactly, but a lot of people are waking up to the reality that it's a scam. Like, councils putting out parking meters and raising revenue, local councils, and sending people like letters, like from Leichhardt Council or Glebe Council, saying you parked here and here's your number plate and we've got you and you owe us this much money. And then occasionally they get the debt recovery people onto it as well. I think this is just a local council. They've got no right to fine me. And so it's getting harder.
Well, there are new statutes going into the books all the time, and some of them are just quite staggering. I mean, you know, do you know you can be fined for getting lost in the bush now?
Mm.
If you go up to the Blue Mountains and you get lost, right? And someone calls the police because they can't find you, and then say the police helicopter is called out, right? You will be fined. It is actually an infringement.
For going away unprepared or endangering rescue people or something. What's the name? What do they call it?
Well, you know, it's just an arbitrary. It's just like they're intoxicated with their power, and I think it really gives certain people in positions of government and authority a huge kick to be able to impose, to be able to dominate, to be able to oppress people. There is, of course, a financial advantage as well. I think a lot of things come together with tyranny. I think fascism is always a kind of a happy coming together of a bunch of different forces that are all to do with the destructive element in human nature. There's the corporate power, profit, oppression, crushing of minorities, the reveling in the oppression of
the bully mindedness of the
yes,
police.
The bully mentality. And of course, we see that with the arbitrariness of the laws and the way they're enforced. I mean, do you know, for example, that you can't go fishing in the state of New South Wales without a license? Now, I had no idea about this. I was told this recently. There are all these things that I didn't even know about that have happened. I mean, when I was a kid, everyone just went fishing. You just went down to the local wharf or whatever, and you just threw a line in the water. It was the most normal, natural thing you'd do. That's now illegal, right? It's actually against the law. You're not allowed to do it unless you have a license. And if you do it without a license, you'll be fined.
Mm. But once again, I think Damon was mentioning that all fines, maybe you didn't mention, but talking about the Freeman issue, that fines are just applications. It's sort of an enticement into contract. And if you look at the Freeman argument, there's all these applications, and every time they send a letter, it's basically a request to do business. And if you even can say I didn't do anything wrong, and they say you're tacitly admitting that they have authority to send you these letters, you have to from the very outset say that I'm not doing business with you, and make it clear that there is no contract here. So I don't know, Damon, were you speaking about that earlier?
Yeah, I mean that's you're just highlighting that very fact, is that there is an assumption that they have some sort of legal jurisdiction over you, right? Like an employer has over an employee. But in reality, there is no signed contract. You haven't signed an agreement. Harewood hasn't signed an agreement. I haven't signed an agreement with anybody to say that you've got jurisdiction over me. And so we've never signed this, but there is this assumption ever since you've come into this world that they have some sort of control over you. So the right for you to put a fishing line into the water and get food, which is obviously your own given, God-given right to go and do that, they have literally put themselves in between God and yourself. And if you look at their law, it's based on it's a biblical Roman maritime-based law, but the common law and the key rights as the human basically indicates that God gave the human, sovereignty over the planet, and no one can come in between them. But they have somehow managed to squeeze in between, and it's only because we never challenged their right and that there is some sort of assumption that we've somehow, you know, joined their organisation as some sort of subordinate employee. And it's if you challenge it correctly, I believe it falls down. And there's quite a number of case studies now where people have used different techniques where they've basically gone back to the government. This one interesting one where this Western Australian guy brings in this car actually goes back to the government and says, can you please identify yourself in a polite way? This is what this courtesy letter is about, which is about the UCC filing. It basically says, can you please identify yourself? I want to make sure I'm dealing with the right organisation. Are you operating legally as a government body as per the stamp of the Constitution, right? Because they've changed the – you'll find in 1984 they actually changed –
the shield, the coat of arms.
Yes, exactly.
They did it in 1984, in the year 1984.
And they registered in Washington as a corporation, as does have done many of the other organisations. And very high-level UCC lawyers have investigated this, and there's been obviously some that are on our side, and they've put a motion together on behalf of all of us. And if you politely give this courtesy letter out, it seems to have quite a lot of weight. And people either don't respond at all, which means you basically get off, or they respond, which also means that they're acknowledging your terms and conditions, because your terms and conditions basically state that if you're unlawfully representing an entity, that you'll, under your terms and conditions of continuing to do business with you, you will be subject to these fines and penalties. And these penalties are pretty onerous, you know, like they're individually penalties of a few thousand dollars or more. And they seem to be quite there's quite a lot of people who say this is all rubbish, and they haven't, look, the legal position of this is correct, but there's no way in reality this will ever get up, because you know, it's like seeing, you know, 9/11 ever seeing it stay in court. It'll never happen. But Max Egan is the most positive I've ever heard. Max Egan was him talking about it this week, and it really encouraged me that this could be an angle. This could be a really solid angle for us.
Excellent. Yeah, so we were hoping to get Max Egan on the line, and hopefully I'll be able to get him on this show at some point. Really look forward to that. I think he's done some incredibly important research. Now, we're sort of heading towards the end of the first hour, and I think what I might do in the second hour, Damon, is actually for our listeners, play some of the video clips that you've been referencing in the in this show. Can you just quickly run through the key ones that you think are valuable? You mentioned the one about the man who was trying to import a car into Australia. Just quickly repeat that one.
That's called what the FUQ, Frequently Unanswered Questions.
Right.
The Australian government.
Terrific. Yeah, actually, what I might do is play some of that after the break. So we are heading towards the end of the hour. Crispy, it's been fantastic having you on the show. I hope that all goes well with you in your quest for truth and justice.
And your unending quest. I hope so too. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Okay, terrific. Have a great night. And we will be right back after this break with hour 2 of Truth News Radio Australia. I do hope you're enjoying it. Don't go away.